welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I, of course, am your host, Matt Alvarez. As always, every week, broadcasting to you live from San Diego, California. How are you all doing? What is going on? I don't even know if anybody can hear me. I don't even know what if I mean, I know we're live, but I just don't feel like we're live because there's nobody in the chat room. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I have indeed refreshed the chat room page just so I know it's working. But normally DDP is here by now. Let me just refresh the chat room Oh, and just as I hit refresh, DDP comes in the chat room. Sorry about that, DDP. I'll get back in a second. Pretty good Subway sandwich here that I'm eating. I know some of you are like, I see how it is. You're eating Subway, and we haven't eaten lunch yet. Well, if you haven't eaten lunch yet, my apologies up front. DDP, what is going on, man? Oh, boy. Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? Can you believe it? 5 more days now. There are only 5 more shopping days left before Christmas Day. I am telling you, shopping is kicking my ass because if you're like me, I know a lot of people are out there and they're going, wow, you haven't done it yet? You haven't even started. But that's okay. This year, I am not the only one who has not even started his shopping. Okay, DDP? Ladies and gentlemen, I have not even started shopping, period. As I welcome guest 369 into the chat room, welcome back again, guest 369. You were here last week, too. That's awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a packed show. I'm not even sure if Eric Williams is going to call in because according to my calculations, with the exception of the Raider game, if I did my math correctly, I won more games because of the NFL pick with my pick last week versus Eric Williams' pick. So I believe that I am slightly ahead of Eric. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, this will be going on for another few weeks, probably about the middle of January. But somewhere along that line, only one of us, either myself or Eric Williams, we'll be taking over the show for 1 week. I mean, I take over anyway. But this is, you know, something to up the game. So if it all comes down to it and things get close to the end, and then if we find out, you know, who's going to the Super Bowl and if anything bad should happen there where, you know, if my record is bad because of all the weeks that I picked with all the teams that I picked versus all the teams that he picked, and I know some of us we basically look like shit because we were picking the same teams, and that should never happen, especially not on this show. So that will kind of summarize things, and when it's all said and done, if I have more picks, if I win with better picks than Eric did, but then again, because I'm a Raider fan, most people don't have faith in us. They don't have faith that I'm going to pull out the win. Don't worry about that. We'll just see what happens. But also, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to continue that thing that we do every year. It's our Christmas award show. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, It's going to be the greatest Christmas gift you will ever get, because we are doing it this year with a twist. Remember, for the last 3 weeks I've been telling you all, ever since Eric Williams brought this idea, when he started saying 3 weeks ago on the show that, well, I don't like this person in wrestling anymore because they have bad mic skills. They don't know how to talk on the mic. They can't hold a microphone correctly. They suck. And that's all Eric Williams said 3 weeks ago. So that gave me an idea to do the Christmas Awards show this year with a huge twist, which is, you can tell me in the chat room or you can call me up at 347-637-2306. And you can cast your vote that way, better than WWE's casting voting system. Who you think, and I'm going to do my own pick too, of who I believe should stay in the wrestling business and who flat out needs to be gone. But first, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I'm not sure if you saw things that are just genuine Christmas emotion in the hearts of people everywhere, because everybody loves Christmas. Well, you can reflect that to Wednesday night. Because Wednesday night's hockey Christmas wish for a very young fan wasn't even thought of. Because the opportunity to snag a loose puck in the stands at an NHL game, you know, these pucks don't even go into the stands, period. They normally stay on the ice, right? The same as a football field stays on the football field, unless a player actually decides to throw a football field into the stands. That's never going to happen for me, because I'm never going to be at a game. Now that we know, you can all laugh. Go ahead, get it out of your system. No, I'm serious. Go ahead, laugh at the Raiders. We didn't make it this year. We were close, but we just came up short, that's all. But when the rubber dick went flying from the ring into the seat, chances are there's some tall, aggressive, maybe large, 7'2" guy that's going to snag the puck before you do because you're smaller than him. But then again, what if it actually comes to a small, small person and he just happened to be sitting in the right seat at the right place at the right time? Perhaps knowing this, a young Tampa Bay Lightning fan put his faith in the holiday spirit to produce a souvenir puck at their game against the Nashville Predators last night. Because last night, if you saw the game on television, I did, he was right about three-quarters of the way behind the glass, but in an upper section, holding a sign that said, "All I want for Christmas is a hockey puck." Well, Santa Claus must have heard him. Santa Claus let some neighboring dude in his section know about this list, more than likely his dad. But because a tall fan did originally catch the puck that went into the stands, and as this guy is celebrating, you know, the boy stands up with this huge sign that reads, "All I want for Christmas is a hockey puck." The fan immediately, this tall guy, he must have looked scary, but then again, to the kid, who looked scary? Nobody. He's a 7'2" guy. He handed over the puck to the kid, and he said, you're the man. You're the man. That'll be the day if more things like that happen. But let's get into NFL. I know that when you guys read the description, there's a lot of crazy, crazy, out-of-control things that are going on in Major League Baseball. We'll get to that in a second. You know, that's really what's happened. But first of all, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, I can't believe this. Sunday, it's Miami versus Buffalo. I think Buffalo will win. Now you say, why Buffalo? Well, because I just think that the way they've been playing this whole entire season is phenomenal. It really is. Miami's going to lose to Buffalo on Sunday. New Orleans Saints against the Carolina Panthers. I should go for the Saints. I normally do. DDP, you know that. But I don't know why I'm feeling like Carolina Panthers could have this alternative edge the way they've been doing these offensive screen plays that are trick plays. And the other teams are going, the hell was that? What kind of play was that? They just scored a touchdown. So it's trick plays. So I'm going to go with Carolina for this Sunday. Carolina is my pick. Eric Williams, take notes. I know you're listening. Dallas against the Washington Redskins. You know, the Redskins head coach, you know what he's been put through and how much fire he's under because of the last three games. But, I mean, he's been doing a hell of a job. So because he's been doing a hell of a job, I'm not going to give him any bullshit whatsoever. I'm going to go with the Redskins against Dallas on Sunday. Tampa Bay will take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers have quite on this roller coaster ride that a lot of people feel that this roller coaster is going to come crashing down, and they believe it will come crashing down this Sunday. I don't think so. I'm going with the Steelers. Cleveland Browns will take on the New York Jets. Now, even though the Cleveland Browns may be at their best, they're certainly not at their worst. But then again, the New York Jets, the Jets are having this season of never say die attitude. So once again, I'm taking the Jets. Indianapolis Colts, to all my friends in Indianapolis, especially my friends at the group. I'm sure my friend Craig Brooks is either at a local library in Indianapolis or he's at McDonald's. If he's at McDonald's, what's going on, McDonald's? I'd like to thank McDonald's personally, because on Wednesday, real quick, I just happened to be there and I bought a meal there, and the girl said, I know you might think this is a joke. I said, what is it? What happened? My ATM card didn't go through? She said, oh, no, sir, no. She said, take this home, get on the internet if you have access to the internet. I said, oh, yes, I do. I have a very nice XP computer. She said, well, get on there, put this code in, and you're one of our lucky free Big Mac winners. I said, excuse me, what? That's right, DDP. She said, I can get a free Big Mac on my next visit. Thank you, McDonald's, for a free Big Mac. But anyway, I think the Indianapolis Colts have the power. They have the desire. But Kansas City, the way they played against my Raiders on Sunday, Kansas City, you put them down, and you get ahead score-wise, but they just don't quit. They just keep getting up and getting up and getting up. But Indianapolis Colts, they're lighting a fire under the rest of the NFL. They're looking for Super Bowl wins. And they might get it. So, for the first time ever on the show, you're about to hear me say this, ladies and gentlemen. Craig Brooks and everybody in Indianapolis is going to be happy with this one. For the first time ever, I'm picking the Colts, the Indianapolis, for Sunday. Sorry, Kansas City, but Minnesota will take on the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going with the Bengals on Sunday. What the hell? Denver and Houston. DDP, The Houston Texans have got to get something rolling. They really do. Even my very own good friend from the shoot, who's been on the show many times, the Alan Martin, that said that both the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans have to bring some type of win, a remarkable win, to help all of Houston cheer about something, DDP. And I know you've been harping on this for a long time, week after week. So once again, because I hate Denver and the way that their tactical team has pissed me off so much this year, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to help out all of Texas. I'm going to help out DDP. I'm going to be right there with you, DDP, watching this game. Well, in spirit, I'll be here in California, of course. But I'll be watching the game, pulling for Houston, Tennessee, and Jacksonville. No question about it. I'm going with Jacksonville. Arizona and Seattle. Seattle is my very, very best pick for this week. I can't wait. The New York Giants will take on the Detroit Lions. I'm going with Detroit. New England Patriots will take on the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going with Baltimore. The Steelers and Green Bay. I'm not sure about this game. I'm not sure about this game, ladies and gentlemen. But I know I have to pick one team, one or the other. I'm going with Green Bay. I'm going with Green Bay. And even though I know my boys are out of it, but Oakland versus San Diego Chargers, it's a no-brainer. Two of the best teams for the NFL in this state, even though the Raiders have been lackluster year after year after year, and even though they're not in the playoff picture anymore, I'm still going with Oakland. I'm still going with Oakland. San Diego will be an easy defeat for us. Easy. The Chicago Bears will take on the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to help out Matt Broderick in Chicago. Chicago is going to win. They did great on Sunday. Great job by the defense and offensive for the Chicago Bears. It was like magic for all of Chicago. So good job, Chicago Bears. I'm going for them this Sunday. The Atlanta Falcons will take on the San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football. Now, I know that the NFL tried to harp in this game last year and tell the world, well, San Francisco will be able to play again. Well, that's not going to happen. Sunday was their last and final game at Candlestick Park. Because I'm sure you've been seeing it around. It's going around on social media. It's been going around on Instagram of this video about how everyone that was at Candlestick this past Sunday got an opportunity before the game. If you were there before the game, you got to go into the locker room. You got to basically tour the whole facility of Candlestick Park, take pictures. I mean, they even had stuff for sale from Candlestick Park to take home as memorabilia. Why? Because the NFL was wrong last year when they put the schedule out, when they told the world, oh, San Francisco will be here to play. No, San Francisco will be at Atlanta. They will be in Atlanta for Monday Night Football. They are playing Atlanta because Sunday was their very last game inside Candlestick Park. And they're going to be moving to another part of California that I know very well, close to my hometown. It's about 45 minutes away. They are going to Santa Clara, California. And then in 3 years' time, I mean, does that mean they're going to become the Santa Clara 49ers? There's a rumor going around saying that they're going to remain the San Francisco 49ers. I'm not even sure how true that is. And speaking of true or not true, everyone said, don't worry about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers will be there on Sunday. The number one quarterback for the Packers will play on Sunday. Well, some analysts were correct, others were wrong, and others weren't sure. But as I always tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you know I never lie. I have the full, complete truth right here in front of me. Aaron Rodgers will be joining the Packers on Sunday, but he will not be playing. Aaron Rodgers is out for Week 16, which is this Sunday, because team doctors and the coaches don't trust the fact. He told the team and he told the coaches, hey, I can play. My broken collarbone, don't worry about it. I mean, quite frankly, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been known for being one of those type of personalities that just doesn't care and he'll say whatever comes to mind. I understand that because I'm the same way. And he opened his mouth on Wednesday and he told the coaches, hey, you know what? Don't worry about my broken collarbone. I know it's only at 85%, but don't worry about it. I can play on Sunday. Trust me, I can play. You know, we have a good defensive team here. They'll protect me. I'll be able to get in and out of the pocket quickly. I won't even get tackled. Sometimes you just got to watch that mouth and not say anything. He should have never even told them. Oh, well, I'm cool. I'm the man. I'm only at 80% with my broken collarbone, but don't worry about it. I mean, because this is the way the NFL works. When you see your doctor or the team doctor, and they tell you what the problem is, normally people in the NFL, they don't go back and you know, it would be like if me and DDP, I'll use this as an example, if me and DDP were, you know, both NFL players playing for the Houston Texans, right? If we were on the same team, and if I went, how stupid would that be if I went and told DDP, hey, you know what? I'm going to tell Coach to let me play because I'm only at 80% DDP. But don't worry. I know Coach will approve it. I'll still be able to play on Sunday. Which wouldn't help me any because DDP might turn around and he might tell the rest of the team. But first and foremost, he's probably going to go tell the coach. You know what Matt just told me? Do you know what Matt just told me? He said, you're going to let him play on Sunday. And then the coach would come ball me out. Oh, really? You really think you're going to play? Why are you telling everybody what's going on around here? Is that what your doctor told you? And I would say, yeah, that's what the doctor told me. So I'm basically spreading my business around. You know how they say that people tell you, mind your own business. This is supposed to be between Aaron Rodgers and the doctors, and his team doctors as well, and maybe even his personal doctor. That's why the word personal, and then when you see a doctor, they also use the word private or confidential. That means you keep that between you and them. Don't go telling everybody else about it. This is why the coaching staff decided, hey, he opened his big mouth. I think we should tell him he's not going to play on Sunday. And that's exactly what they did. Because, as I said earlier, there's something wrong with speaking your mind and just saying whatever comes out of your mouth. You don't really think. Because I'm like that too. But at times, guys like me and Aaron Rodgers got to know when to just shut the hell up. Because then we get in trouble and we get put in positions like this. So they told him, well, just you're going to be coordinating. You'll be able to be on the sidelines. You know, wear your jacket, put a headset on. You can help us out, but that's it. But you're not playing. And that's really unfortunate, but he brought this on himself, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron Rodgers should have said anything. I mean, normally if it's a huge, huge thing, then normally I just keep quiet and I'm also the reserved type of person. I'm a little bit of both. Sometimes I just like to open my mouth and tell people what just happened or the gossip going on. Or, hey, did you hear what happened? You know what stupid thing happened with who, and they're getting in trouble for it. But other times I'm like, I'm going to shut up. Because this part here is really nobody's business, and I don't tell anybody anything. And that's the way it is. Now, speaking with the way it is in reference to Major League Baseball, they're still coming off this high of, and no, it's not drugged, it's not, you know, Mark McGwire's epidemic of his past drug problem. It's the fact that they're going around and they're building all these new parks, which, in reference to the NFL, I mean, now the city of San Francisco is going to be left with three different NFL parks that were all used by the San Francisco 49ers. Because when they first left one building in 2005, I thought, well, you know, the city of San Francisco, since I live nearby and I can always take public transportation to San Francisco because it's not that far for me, I can deal with it, no problem. If they're going to knock down one of the stadiums, I can go watch it. But no, that building is still up. And then when they left that building in 2010, they went to another building. And they stayed there for a year and a half, and that building's still there. Now their last game was just on Sunday in Candlestick. And they're not going to knock down any of these three buildings in San Francisco. This is because the city of San Francisco doesn't care. And certain cities all across the United States don't care. So that this is giving Major League Baseball and the NFL, you know, basically they get to stick the middle finger at all of these cities and go, you're not going to knock our stadium down. That's nice of you. It's going to cost you money in energy refills because you still got to pay the PG&E bill for those buildings to leave the energy efficient lights on, even though the stadium's not being used. Because what Bud Selig said is, he said it's a chance for us to work our way into the system. Well, basically, you're admitting everything right there. Bud Selig, come on, you're the commissioner of baseball. And so now he's trying to say that this is his own ethical idea. But, you know, the same thing everybody always says. Because nobody really talks about ethics. Even in wrestling, they even said the same thing. The hell with ethics. Nobody cares about ethics. And it's true. But what's not true is the fact that Bud Selig and Major League Baseball saying, no, this is our own idea. Because they're also thinking about purchasing a baseball-only stadium in London. No, you only got that because of what the NFL doing. The NFL wants to do a buy rate in London. They only had one game in London so far, which was last month, when the Saints and Chargers played there. But they only want to use that for Super Bowls. The next 3 years, they want them to play at this new stadium they just built in London on Super Bowl Sunday. From here to London, and now baseball wants to go in and do the same thing. But don't sit there and tell the world, we didn't conjure up this idea from the NFL. This is our idea. You know what? From a standpoint, I can see why people want to say that. Or people in the NFL or Major League Baseball. But you cannot fool the people. Whether you're lying or not doesn't matter. What matters is the fact that this is not going to work. This London thing between the NFL and Major League Baseball the Major League Baseball, they're probably going to come back next week and say the same thing, which is, well, how do you plan to use the stadium in London if you build, if you also build a stadium in London? Well, we're only going to use it once a year, just for the World Series. And as much as I enjoy, you know, walking into the old stadiums that aren't being used in San Francisco, because the 49ers have now just have three different buildings all over San Francisco that they no longer will need, it's nice that I can go there and see these buildings. Can't these cities all over the United States use these buildings? I mean, actually use them for something important. Knock them down and make them into a job facility, you know? I can't suggest, you know, a huge, huge four-story mall. San Francisco's already got a four-story mall, so I can't suggest that to them. So there are some disappointing Christmas gifts on this show to start with, but I'm sure we'll figure out better ways for better gifts, and the Christmas Award Show, all that, plus, when we come back, you're going to hear some amazing wrestling news topics, including how Saudi Arabia feels about WWE coming there. WWE says they feel welcomed. Saudi Arabia, a foreign natural gas country, then WWE is not welcomed. You'll find out why after this.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even,
oh my God,
the leader of Team Gooch himself, Mick Dirty Seth. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, and of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
It was almost Christmas time. There was food in another line. Trying to buy the last gift or two. Not really in the Christmas mood. Standing right in front of me was a little boy waiting anxiously. Pacing around like little boys do. And in his hands were a pair of shoes. And his clothes were worn and old. He was dirty from head to toe. And when it came time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say. Sir, I wanna buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size. Could you have Daddy, this is not much time. You see, she's a 6 trust you. So I laid the money down. I just had to help him out. I'll never forget the look on his face when he said, Mama's gonna look so great. Sir, I wanna buy.
Man, I love these new Red Button Roast coffees. It is exactly what I need because I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
Tell me about it. This French vanilla one is a great way to start the day.
Did you just say, tell me about it and then keep on talking? Because I can't really tell you about it if you keep on talking afterwards.
And you did wake up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
I know. Tell me about it.
New Red Button Roast coffee and premium breakfast burritos. Now available with egg whites. This is how you Sonic.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't begin to tell you what a great, great Christmas gift that I hope you get. I hope, I really hope that on Wednesday you get the best Christmas gift ever, whether it be family, friends, or just good health, although a lot of people already use the good health one for Thanksgiving, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter at all. As we get back into this, ladies and gentlemen, whenever we do wrestling news topics, people always say, you got your hands on a nice story, but is it really true? I'm telling you, they're true. Because if you look at what took place in the last 2 years, everybody that I said was going to be gone, and it's sad that some of them had to be gone because of stupid politics and all the other stuff going on. Look, now they're not in wrestling anymore. They're not even on television anymore. that it's true, just as this first story is here. It has been announced that WWE will be doing their first tour in Saudi Arabia in the springtime. But not everyone is excited that John Cena and WWE are coming to their town, or should I say country. Because no matter what part of Saudi Arabia they're going to end up in, the entire country will come either to get a glimpse or to bash WWE. Because Saudi Arabia's newspaper, excuse me, one of their newspaper columnists, Kadabi Al-Sam, posted an article on Emirates247.com slamming WWE and John Cena. Here's just some of what he had to say. And he interviewed some random people on the streets of Saudi Arabia, and they agreed with him. John Cena, let me be the first to tell you, he said in his news article on Emirates247.com, you and the WWE are not welcomed here. A few years ago, I could have said that you guys are welcomed, but my bitter experience with my children and their obsession with you, Mr. Cena, have made me both loathsome and to the idea of your coming. And to stop you from coming, I am even ready. Get ready for this. Check this out. I am ready to even face you in the ring. Although such an idea is even suicidal, over the past years my home has been turned into nothing but a wrestling ring where human bodies fly around and pillows are thrown all over and screams do not stop, as if my home became Madison Square Garden from New York. Well, he must have lived in New York at one time in order to be able to make a reference like that. During those years, the shelves, walls, and drawers in my home have been filled with pictures of wrestlers and their frightening bodies. Now they are coming in the springtime to control our minds in our homes. Again, you are not welcomed. What we adults and children need is not a wrestling ring to engage in, salvage in horrifying fights, but a stage where all the talented and only the talented compete to demonstrate their human skills and nature, not staggery, boring wrestling, such as you, Mr. Cena. Would this guy even be able to stand a chance to even get into the ring with John Cena when WWE goes to Saudi Arabia in the springtime? I'm not too sure about that. I don't even think Vince McMahon would even allow that to happen. Because Vince would look at it and, I can't have a fan wrestling a true wrestler. Vince. You know as well as the rest of us that John Cena is a puppet toy. He's nothing more than the gimmick that you've always wanted for years and years, and you never were able to find it until 2005 when he made his debut, and you said, wow, this will change the course of wrestling forever. It didn't really change the course of anything other than the lackluster debate that you had to go and listen to everybody else, and especially your second bitch in command. And no, I'm not talking about your wife, Linda. I'm talking about Kevin Dunn, the most stupidest person you have as TV producer to say he could be our best champion ever. He will be the best ever. Hasn't worked out too well, and that's why they're PG and all the other things that they're doing now. Anyway, TNA sent out the following statement from Chavo Guerrero. Guerrero, who last night, if you saw their TNA so-called Final Resolution pay-per-view, but also in it doesn't make sense. Why are you incorporating the Feast or Fired matches and revolving them around Final Resolution? Final Resolution was its own pay-per-view with TNA at one time, and then TNA goes and they add in some Feast or Fired matches last night. Feast or Fired was an original pay-per-view all its own. What is the logic of TNA anyway? What are they doing? Chavo ended up telling the TNA home video crew, he said, "With so many endeavors in my life, this separation will allow me to focus on these and other future opportunities. I have nothing but good things to say about TNA and their president, Dixie Carter, and I want the absolute best for them. I look forward to watching Impact Wrestling to continue success, dedicating my time to the opportunities that have been presented and attacking new adventures in Guerrero style. Viva la raza." Come on, he only said that to impress the viewer at home watching. Watching on the internet, that is, because, you know, their television staff ended up sending the very promo that he did, not on TV, but on TNA.com. WWE had signed Tommy McMahon of the Monster Factory and also an independent wrestler that I told you guys about, who I know personally, Brian Tannen, and Shane Taylor, who is a former football player and independent wrestler as well, to huge developmental deals. Hopefully my good friend Brian Tannen does not get sent home, like some of the other people that I know that from California have been sent back home by WWE. With WWE also picking up new talent and new developmental workers, the feeling is that some of the other wrestlers who aren't where officials would like them to be might be cut as well in order to make room for these new talents that were just signed, the ones that I mentioned. For example, Knuckles Madison was released this past week. He was signed back in 2012 and has never been called up to the main roster. According to WrestlingNewsDVD.com, you're going to either love this or hate this, especially you, DDP, because I know you like to purchase them as well, and so do I. But the new WCW DVD, which will feature pay-per-view matches, will be the first title in an ongoing series, similar to WWE's recent sets on WCW Nitro. However, remember last week on the show when I said that they decided to do post-production for the WCW DVD? The new title for the DVD has now been changed, and I told you this last week that they were thinking of changing it and stopping production for this WCW Greatest Moments DVD. It will now be called WCW Greatest Pay-Per-View Matches Volume 1. The new release date will now be March 11th, 2014. I can't believe we're about to get into a new year with less than a week. Less than a week. Christmas will be over, and then everybody will sing their song Swan to welcome in the new year. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna do the picks at random, and then for the Christmas award ceremony, we'll make some of these other decisions towards the end of the show. But that's because I'm having second thoughts about some people. I feel like Alberto Del Rio, let's start with him. Let's start there. I know some people say, don't even go there. Well, no, I'm going to go there. I'm definitely going to go there. But as far as Alberto Del Rio even making it on on the Christmas gift show as part of the Christmas award ceremony. I think Alberto Del Rio, I'm going to give him a chance to say that I think he should stay in WWE. Vicky Guerrero, now this is one I've been wrestling with for ever since I made this announcement 2 weeks ago, and here I am 2 weeks later, and I still haven't made a decision. Vicky Guerrero is good at what she does. She knows how to piss people off, but she sucks when it comes to actually remembering who she's supposed to call out to the ring. If you go back to 2011, okay, go back to 2011, and then a little bit during the summer of 2012 last year, if you go back and watch those episodes of either Raw or SmackDown, you'll notice that she had to oftentimes go, and now, coming out to the ring is a man who actually, and she'd stop and she would actually have to turn around camera crew for 3 seconds. Then they'd start talking to each other inside the radio and inside the walkie-talkies. What's going on out there? Well, she just gave me the signal that she forgot her lines. She forgot who's supposed to call out. She's supposed to call out Ken Anderson. Oh, okay. And then the camera crew would, you know, act like there's something special going on, so they would move the camera. You know how the camera guy is always in front of the announce table. So that he'd walk around the other side. I mean, come on, really, you can't really, I mean, if you're that good of a cameraman to actually do that, although certain cameramen that work for WWE have gotten away with doing a number where they would walk really, really slowly because they feel, you know, they think, well, nobody's going to notice the difference of me trying to get a different angle while she's cutting her promo. But what they were actually doing, and this is why some of them still walk around, they used to stay in one position. Wherever Vince McMahon told you that he wanted a camera shot from, you would stay in that position. But for Vicky Guerrero, it's different. They actually walk really slowly, and they're walking by, they're walking past Vicky Guerrero, but they're walking slowly on purpose so that way they can tell her, remember, you're supposed to call out Ken Anderson. And they get away with that very frequently, very often, I should say. And then because what is the audience doing? The audience is booing her, and they're just trying to really get under her skin. But WWE is happy about that because it gives them a chance to actually use the camera crew or a tech person or somebody and say, you were supposed to call out Triple H. That's who you were referring to, remember? So she's good in some areas. She's good for the fans because the fans, you know, give her that heel reaction when she's always been a heel, never a baby face. So it's that reaction when they boo her, and she always has to keep going back to the one phrase that she already knows, which is, excuse me, excuse me. But other than that, I know that she's good for business. I know that she brings them a lot of money with just her savvy, sarcastic attitude. But on the other hand, I'm sorry. She will not get a Christmas award this year. The only Christmas award she gets from me is, I think she needs to go. I'm sorry, DDP. I know you love her. I know she's one of your many girlfriends, DDP, but she's got to go. Because, I mean, she's been doing this for so long, she should know and remember without having to make the, you know how in baseball they do signals to each other of, between the pitcher and the catcher only, really. The pitcher will look at the catcher and the catcher will either do one, two, or three, which means a curveball, a fastball, or a slider. WWE, they've got their own little system of, and their own signals of communicating with people. I mean, you always have to remember, being in wrestling and cutting, because the other reason is, okay, maybe she doesn't have to go. Maybe they need to cut down her promo time. Because they do the same thing with everybody. Here, guest 1369. I want you to go out there. What do you want me to do, sir? I want you to cut a 25-minute promo. Yes, sir. But can guest 1369 actually remember the entire promo from start to finish without having to secretly signal somebody and go, I forgot what the topic was. What the hell were we doing again? Shit. Vince, we got a problem here. I'm watching this from the backstage area. What is taking them so long? Well, sorry, sir, but he can't remember his lines. Tell him I said that his line was. And they would have to sneak around the ring to go to tell guest 1369 what the topic was that they were supposed to do in the ring. So they probably just need to cut down her promo time, don't have her out there for 20 minutes because she can't remember that well. That's the way I look at it, at least. Let's see here. Sin Cara, for my Christmas show, Sin Cara, I think he's fine. He can stay. The only thing that needs to be tweaked about Sin Cara's wrestling character is, I mean, sure, when he first came out and they dimmed the lights and then they made the lights bright yellow. And so you only get, you know, bright yellow spotlights on the wrestling ring because it's him wrestling. But other than that, I mean, I know that on SmackDown he's been doing, you know, promos here and there and kind of on the side to give to WWE.com. But since they mainly mostly have him on Raw now and there's starting to be a huge following of Sin Cara Mask and everything else selling, that now they see, well, his merchandise is going up, and they've been using him for the last three pay-per-views. I appreciate it last year when they tried their best efforts to kind of have this monopolizational deal of this, you know, Mexican aristocrat Alberto Del Rio versus what he called last year in 2012 mostly illegal, which obviously the writing team screwed that whole thing up because you can't do a promo on another Mexican and say, well, you're illegal, you don't belong in this country. I mean, sure, with a short feud that they had, but they could have built off of it and made, you know, the storyline drag on longer and make it more exciting. Can you maybe change the spotlight colors from orange to, say, red? And I know that's probably going to piss some people off, but that's just my opinion. That's the way I feel about it. If you don't like the opinion, tough luck, because the reason why I say red, because he's already wearing orange and blue. So when you put these orange and blue spotlights, the damage and, you know, the whole simplicity and the whole, I guess you could call, secret, you know, to make Sin Cara a secret sensation, but not by putting the same spotlight colors that he's already wearing. Because that just, it just makes him look kind of ugly in that way. You know what I mean? The Authority. That brings me to The Authority. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. Yes, this would have been Shane McMahon, you know, coming out every week and performing these duties of being in charge and all that, but since he left in 2010, Vince had no choice but to give, you know, reins to Triple H. Triple H was always following him around and wanting to learn the business from Vince McMahon himself, and now he's doing it. Vince is still ultimately in charge. But I think Triple H needs to get off of television. And Stephanie, too. Which brings us to Brad Maddox. Brad Maddox is fine as a general manager. Actually, no, he needs to become the assistant general manager because Brad Maddox doesn't really come off as that, you know, all authority, almighty authority figure. He doesn't.
I'm going to put to rest everything about my real mom. My real mom, God bless her soul. But when she was alive, if we did something wrong, she would get furious and get very angry with us. And she would say, "Oh, really? You really just said that to me? You really just talking to your mother that way? Well, you can go to your room." But nowadays, putting kids in their room or making them stand in the corner for 2 hours, that doesn't scare kids anymore. What we needed was firm assertiveness. That's when she would tell our dad, and then dad would come in the door and go, "What did you tell your mother?" "Well, what did I tell you about talking to your mother like that? You know what, come here. Come follow me. We're going to go in my room. Just you and me, alone." Which meant we pretty much knew, well, mom likes to play around, and she doesn't really, she disciplines us, but not, she doesn't really bring that, she's not scared. We're not really scared of her. But with dad, oh, yeah, we're definitely scared of dad. So I think that Brad Maddox is okay in the role that he's in. It's just, and he doesn't carry a lot of bass in his voice. I think he needs to talk to Stone Cold Steve Austin and get some tips there. You know, because, I mean, Eric Bischoff and Steve Austin, when they were doing the co-general manager thing from 2004 to 2007, it worked, and it was a very energetic way because you had Steve Austin, who has a lot of bass in his voice, and he actually punishes people. And Eric Bischoff's character, being the co-general manager, also brought the whole thing together when he would tell certain people, "Well, I can't do that because you did this and this and that." So I think Brad Maddox needs some help. Maybe he needs help from Triple H. I don't know. But Brad Maddox, I think, needs to go. No, I'm not giving him the Christmas Award ceremony to be fired. I'm just saying, move him over to SmackDown. Name somebody else the general manager of Raw because, well, since they always say that SmackDown into the B product. That's what I think of Brad Maddox. I think he is, you know, I think that's what it is. We'll come back to this a little later on, ladies and gentlemen. We'll go through some more and see who makes the cut and who doesn't. WWE Raw had opened up Monday night with a look back at the TLC pay-per-view and the title unification match. Now, I know that DDP and others watched the pay-per-view. I obviously did. I saw what took place. And it was a good pay-per-view, which helped them carry over to Monday Night Raw. And Monday Night Raw was, and DDP, as you said on social media and on Facebook, that was the best 3 hours ever. That was awesome. Very good show. Very good show. But I still have that burning feeling in my heart when Lillian Garcia said, "It is now time for the main event of the pay-per-view." And I said, "Well, here it goes." And with the way the whole thing turned out for the TLC pay-per-view, huge rave. People were excited about what had taken place. But if you go around outside your neighborhood or even just to the next city over, and if you start a conversation about what took place on Sunday night, if you find out that, oh, you're a wrestling fan, well, did you watch the pay-per-view on Sunday? And if you notice, because I've certainly noticed in the last few days, that they're talking about all the other matches, they're talking about everything that took place, even on the pre-show, how good the pre-show was and how some of the interviews went. But you know the one thing that they're not talking about? They're not talking about this unification match between Randy Orton and John Cena. Because I believe that the entire world wanted to see what I wanted to see, which was this unification match should have taken place at WrestleMania. I still feel that way even today. But anyways, Raw is live. They were live from Dallas, Texas. DDP, I know you were trying to make it to that show, but couldn't. you would have given Vince McMahon the bird or something like that if you would have saw him come out of his limousine. I know you. But Cody Rhodes and Goldust, they took on Rey Mysterio and The Big Show. Yes, Rey Mysterio is back from yet another hamstring injury. He was on the disabled list for the past 8.5 months, and now he's back. Rey Mysterio seems to get injured all the time with a hamstring. Why is it always a hamstring and not a broken arm? I don't know, but nonetheless, Big Show and Rey Mysterio won. They took care of that. Dolph Ziggler versus Fandango. Dolph Ziggler got the quick 1-2-3 roll-up win with Summer Rae looking on in disgust. She couldn't believe it. I mean, basically, it was a squash match. They've told Dolph Ziggler that they want to build him up and make him look better than everybody else. Not by having squash matches. Come on, give me a break. I want to see more of what he could do athletically, since they've told him they want him to use his athleticism. He's not going to use it against a guy like Fandango. Come on. Of course that was a quick win. Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro took on Mark Henry and Big E Langston. Now this match was the highlight of Monday Night Raw for me. I wish they would bring back those highlight reels with Chris Jericho, but that's okay, but this was really, really good. Mark Henry and Big E Langston, I think they should stay together like this. And I mean, even if they just turn into an interim tag team, they don't necessarily have to go for the tag team belt. but they did very good. Mark Henry and Biggie Langston win thanks to Biggie Langston doing his special. And I forgot to mention something about telling you guys that Raw wasn't in Texas. But they even opened up the show with, you know, the whole WWE app thing. And then after the Biggie Langston and Mark Henry tag team match, you know, they need to quit doing this. Michael Cole, this time, he really, really stepped over the line. I'm just puzzled because usually when things get said on live television or on the radio, everybody goes crazy. And they want to report this person. They want to get this person fired. And the FCC will go, okay, we're going to get involved and we'll do this investigation. I want that to happen here. I want the FCC to get involved. Because if I was in charge of the FCC, I would strictly go straight to Vince McMahon and I would say, I need to talk to you. Can you bring Michael Cole in the office too? And Michael Cole would get that scared, stupid fifth grader look on his face like he always had. What did I do? I'll tell you what you did. Right after the Biggie Langston Mark Henry tag team match, Michael Cole, this time he really stepped over the line. He said, quote, on Monday Night Raw, if you saw Raw, you know what he said, but I'll repeat it again anyways. None of you know how to download an app. That's why I'm here. I'm here to show you how to actually download the WWE app. I don't care if it's his heel persona or not. Even if he's just playing a character. You cannot tell the world, because some of you are stupid, is basically what he was saying. Some of you are so fucking stupid that I'm going to have to fucking show you how to fucking download the WWE app. That's basically what he was saying. But since they're PG, he can't actually go over the edge and start cussing us out. We're not kindergartners. We're not children, Michael Cole. As I said last week on the show, there are kids younger than me that are downloading stuff and their parents are going, did you teach them how to download that? And I'm going, I didn't teach anybody anything how to download. Your kids taught themselves how to download. Matt Broderick is in the chat room. What's going on, Matt? Happy Friday to you as well. But, you know, there was so much going on for the app, you know, how to download the app. But, again, I can't stress enough how stupid this is with Michael Cole telling the world right after the Biggie Langston and Mark Henry match, since some of you can't download anything, you don't know how to do it, I'm Michael Cole, and I'm going to have to show you how to do it. We are not children, Michael Cole. Vince McMahon, this is mostly your doing. Vince McMahon will never take the blame for this, but ultimately this is his company. He needs to take most of the responsibility for Michael Cole telling the world, some of you are stupid and you don't know how to download the app. I'm going to show you how to not be stupid and download the app. Maybe we don't want to download the WWE app, Michael Cole. I don't need that app on my phone. I'm sure Matt Broderick doesn't need it on his iPad. Oh, boy. No, Matt, we can't do that. Matt Broderick said in the chat room, well, we'll have Vince McMahon come on television to show us how to download the app. No, because he'll screw that up even more than Michael Cole did. And yeah, screw Michael Cole. But anyways, Ryback and Curtis Axel versus Tensai and Brodus Clay. Tensai, he did try to tag in Brodus Clay, but Brodus Clay jumped off the ring apron. Ryback went over Tensai, and he hit Shell Shock, and Ryback doesn't care. So your winners are Ryback and Curtis Axel. After the match, though, Tentai and Brodus were trying to go head-to-head with each other. And then Brodus Clay said, forget this. The hell with all of you. I'm the man. I'm the man. So, and the Funkadactyls were like, what the hell is wrong with you? Tentai was just helping you, but you didn't tag him, so you pissed him off. Is this the end of Tentai and Brodus Clay and the Funkadactyls? Are they all splitting up? I think they just made my award show ceremony too. Like I said, we'll get to that, and we'll go back to that in just a second. CM Punk and the Usos took on The Shield. And of course, you know, they still want to keep The Shield on top. I understand that. I understand why the writers and Vince McMahon feel that The Shield needs to stay on top. But for how much longer? Matt Broderick said, I'll take the Funkadactyls any day of the week. They can come to my house. I think you might have someone to fight with on that, Matt Broderick. I think DDP is the ladies' man, the one and only ladies' man. It's a good thing that Matt Broderick and DDP live in two totally different states. Matt Broderick is in Chicago. Huge win for the Bears, though, Matt. That's awesome. DDP is in Texas. Guest 1369. I have no clue where the hell you're located, but like I said, back to this whole thing here. Keeping The Shield on top for one whole year. They've lost some non-title matches, but I want to see them actually lose a title. I mean, this will work perfectly with the system of what they've been trying to do for the longest time. They want Roman Reigns to start doing singles matches. Well, the only way you can do that, well, you have to break up The Shield. And I think there's a way to do this. With the Royal Rumble coming up in January, in just a few weeks, here's what I would love to see. And it would make a perfect contingency to this storyline of how they want to get Roman Reigns to go singles. What if Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins end up eliminating each other? Then they would have to go to the next pay-per-view, which is not No Way Out. They got rid of that pay-per-view this year. If you've been following along with the wrestling history, they completely scratched all these pay-per-views for this year, which is why Sunday was TLC and not the regular Armageddon pay-per-views. So I don't even remember what the February one is. But they should end up all getting eliminated from the Royal Rumble, and then they should have a kick-ass match at the next pay-per-view. And I don't want them to be bitter with each other, because I think it would be awesome if they say, well, it was your fault that you eliminated me from the Royal Rumble, but then you got eliminated by Roman Reigns. So let's have a friendly, a very sportsmanship triple threat match at the next pay-per-view. That way, after the next pay-per-view in February, all three of them could shake hands, have Roman Reigns win this so-called triple threat match at the February pay-per-view. That way, by WrestleMania, they could all come out and share one last moment together. But in sportsmanship, they would all shake each other's hand, you know, give each other a hug, that sort of thing. And they would wish each other the best in the company. And then, who knows, they can all go to separate shows. And that's how you would break up The Shield. Yeah, I think it's Elimination Chamber. I don't remember what the February pay-per-view is, Matt. Come on now. Like I said, they just stopped using the No Way Out and other pay-per-views this year. I mentioned that back on January 12th, our first show of this year, when I mentioned that whole thing, and everybody was shocked. What? They're getting rid of all these pay-per-views? No Way Out's not going to be the February pay-per-view anymore? They're not using the name Armageddon anymore for December? Nope. They got rid of all those pay-per-views this year. But anyway, the Shield is your winner. And then AJ Lee, Tamina Snuka, and Alicia Fox took on Natalya and the Bella Twins. Finally, for the last 2 weeks, I've been happy with the women's division because they're actually giving the women more time to actually wrestle. And if I could do this on a side note, my good friend Gabe Ramirez, because, and Matt, I'm sure you've seen that picture I took of that Shimmer DVD on social media. Guess where Shimmer is now located? This DVD that I found 2 weeks ago at Rad Students, Matt, it's only 3 years old. I found out that Shimmer takes place at some building, a building hall in downtown Chicago. You and Corey and the others, you should all go down there. I was like, I started watching the DVD and they said, "Welcome to Shimmer, live from Chicago." I was like, "Chicago?" They were here in California. They were based in San Francisco, California for a while, but I didn't know what happened to them. And then I found that DVD and I said, "Damn, man." So you guys all get lucky. But my good friend Gabe Ramirez, he created an online petition to have everyone sign it for cheerleader Melissa to be signed by WWE. But WWE, they've been ignoring her. They've been trying to push her aside and say that she's not a real women's wrestler, which is ironic, pathetic, top-of-the-line bullshit. What do you mean she's not a real wrestler? She's the best on the independent circuit right now. If WWE doesn't pick her up, I don't know what's going to happen to women's wrestling. Yeah, Matt, so you and Corey and the rest of the crew, you can all go start going to these Shimmer shows without me. Okay, enough crying. But anyway, AJ ended up hitting a Shining Wizard. She probably got that from one of our NorCal boys. Haven't seen the Shining Wizard being used on television in a long time. So when I saw that, I said, damn, it's the Shining Wizard. She used it on Nikki Bella for the win. And Nikki Bella took a nasty, ugly kick right to the mouth during the match. She took that from Tamina Snuka. And it looked like she may have been injured because, you know, if you watch Raw, you can see that Nikki Bella is happy that her and her sister and Natalya got the win, or actually they lost, rather. AJ Lee, Tamina, and Alicia Fox, they won. But you saw Nikki trying to show emotion, but she's actually down there holding her mouth because she didn't want nobody to know. She wanted the people that were watching on television or the people at home watching it live to know that, well, she's not really talking or saying anything, not even to her own sister, because she had a whole, you know, like an inch and a half of blood inside her mouth from Tamina kicking her. She can probably need stitches. Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton. The fans were chanting, "This is awesome," 2 minutes into the match. And I agree. Monday Night Raw, this main event with Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton was awesome. As Orton tried for a superplex, Bryan ended up bringing it back in the ring. And he went up to the top rope. Bryan ended up nailing a missile dropkick, a perfect missile dropkick like I've never seen. before. I haven't seen one like that in a long time. Nice job, Daniel Bryan. Bryan did several of his, you know, famous tilt-the-world kicks, which basically means he uses one foot to the chest, and then he'll switch it off and use the left foot, go back to the right foot. There's a lot of kick chops there. Bryan goes for the roundhouse kick. Well, he tried to, but he missed, and Orton nailed him with an RKO. And then right after the RKO, he picked up Daniel Bryan again, and in front of the referee, goes down for the low blow, right to the nuts. And the referee was like, "You're disqualified. Ring the bell." So the winner by disqualification is Daniel Bryan. But even after the bell had rung and everything was, you know, it seemed over, Randy Orton wasn't content enough. Bryan was trying to roll out of the ring, but he just grabbed Bryan and, you know, started beating him, you know, severely kicking and trying to damage him, maybe break his arm in half. And, you know, they were trying to separate them and trying to get Orton off of him. But Orton just, he was like an animal, like he hadn't been in the past. And finally John Cena came out, and he wasn't going to stand for that. He finally was able to get to Daniel Bryan's side. And normally John Cena, like, he always watches his back, make sure nobody, you know, going to attack him while he's attending to a friend of his in for storyline purposes. But this time the writers felt that, well, John, just, you know, don't even turn around. Just act like you're still giving aid to Daniel Bryan, which he was. And then Orton came in and he just beat the hell out of both Daniel Bryan and John Cena. And then he stood over John Cena with both titles in the air. Yeah, I think Orton was scared. Orton, I tell you, he knows how to... Before we go to commercial break, I'd just like to say that for the award show, Randy Orton is malicious. He's evil. When they tried to turn him babyface last year in the summertime, it was okay to have people cheering for him, but no, it doesn't suit him well. But, you know, he had botched a couple of things over the last 3 years. But I'm going to go ahead and award Randy Orton with a Christmas gift and say he should stay on television. I like his attitude. I may not like him personally when I'm watching wrestling and I go, "Boo, you suck." But then again, seriously, I like him. I like his athleticism. You know, hey, Daniel Bryan, well, there's no question. Nobody needs to talk about Daniel Bryan. He automatically gets... I'm going to give Daniel Bryan a free pass and say that he doesn't need to get fired. He doesn't need to be taken off television. He certainly doesn't need to be sent back to NXT, which is where he started. He can stay on television as far as I'm concerned because, people like that beard. It's a nice beard. Yeah, that's exactly who needs to fight Orton. Brock Lesnar. Wait. Let me say it correctly like Paul Heyman. Brock Lesnar. There. ladies and gentlemen, this is turned out to be one heck of a show. Who else made my award show? Who else do I think deserves to get fired? Who do I think deserves to go to NXT? And how stupid was last night with TNA? All that's still more to come after this.
Fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message
from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
You're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby.
Oh,
eat
oh,
a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Hey! Oh, man!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Ground beef, refried beans, guacamole, cheese, sour cream, and if there's any room left, a few shreds of lettuce.
I don't see no lettuce.
A culinary creation that baffles the human mind. A 12,000 calorie salad.
Acaramba.
Some may ask, is your taco salad healthy? Of course it is. It's a salad, isn't it?
You can eat that deep-fried country bowl.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, conquistador of the calorie. You put the feast in fiesta.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
I want everything now.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. I see we have a caller on the line. It could be Eric Williams. It could be anybody. Probably calling about maybe what they feel is, should make the Christmas Award show right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Like I said before the commercial break, that is my final answer. Yeah, Daniel Bryan, he doesn't need to be fired or anything. He can stay on television for the simple fact of the beard. It's all about the beard. Let's find out who this is on the phone line. I bet you it's Eric Williams, 484. You're on the air.
This is Santa Claus. I'm coming to the Sports Opinion Show. Matt Alvarez, how you doing, Santa Claus?
Well, Santa Claus, I appreciate you calling in. I didn't know you were going to call in.
I've been eating a lot of cookies. Man, I'm getting ready for the season, the holiday season. I'm going to tell you right now, oh, my gosh. I have a little bit of a cold, so I can't talk too much. But I'm telling you right now, Matt, what do you want for Christmas?
I would like, for Christmas, I think I would like all the best video games in the world.
Well, Matt, I'm telling you right now, I want you to ask the chat room as well what they want. The good old DDP, you know, the Nick French, you know, him. I want to know what he wants for Christmas.
Well, I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, you can tell me in the chat room right now what you would like Santa Claus to bring you for Christmas. Santa, I have to tell you, I've been a very, very good person this year. And
You have. And I'll tell you right now. I wanted to give you, a piece of advice for the future is that, sometimes this holiday season is about giving, not just getting. So just remember that, Matt.
Thank you, Santa. And I have to tell you, Matt Broderick in the chat room, he said, just bring me a PS4 and an Xbox One and lots of video games with it. And
well,
DDP said he doesn't care what you bring him for Christmas.
Well, you know, I'm thinking that sometimes, you know, people want all this stuff, but what am I going to get? You know, I have everything in here. I have everything here at the North Pole. But I need some people to come help me. I'm getting pretty old. And I think that's right. I just beat up Santa Claus. What's up, Matt Alvarez?
Eric Williams.
I am screwed.
What have you done? Why have you beat up Santa Claus?
I have beaten up Santa Claus. There will be no Christmas this year. I have choked Santa out. I gave him the task mission.
And you told him, beat me if you can and survive if I let you?
Well, I'll tell you right now. Happy holidays to everybody in the Sports Opinions world, chat room, the Facebook page, the good old Craig Brooks, the McDonald's down at where he goes, the library where he goes. Matt, it's always been fun. I'll tell you right now, with the new year coming up, I'll tell you one thing. 2014 is going to be a wilder party than 2013 was. It's going to be even more crazier. We're going to go places you've never been. Because I'm telling you right now, Matt, what I'm about to tell you, it's going to bother your mind. Because, you know, these past couple of weeks, I've been away. But Matt Alvarez, sometimes you think you're down and out, like that tantrum song. But Matt, how would you feel if I was going to tell you something that may, this is not, it's not guaranteed yet because I'm working on things, but what would you do, Matt, if your show was not just heard on Blog Talk Radio, but it was heard on regular radio?
Dude, that would be awesome.
Okay, because I'm going to be completely honest right now. The last couple weeks, I've been working on a deal that could bring the Sports Opinion Show to a network near me. Now, it would be simulcast with Blog Talk Radio. The only thing would be, it would be at midnight, which would be,
midnight.
It'd be 9 o'clock your time, midnight my time, but you would still be doing the show at the regular time. It would just be a repeat. That way they can put their commercials in where they, you know, where you put your commercials in, they'll be their commercials, you know. I've been working on that, and I'm not too sure what's going to happen with that. It is going to be no cost to anybody, and it will be 2 hours, 2 hours with commercials, with their commercials and their music. But everything, like I said, I'm gonna have to, like, finalize a lot of shit because as of right now, everything looks like it's going to be a go for February. But
wow,
I'm pretty much, you know, I've been working on some things, and, you know, I kind of sent out some tapes. You know, I'll tell you right now, mark out for this, but I sent a tape of the show. I think it was like a couple, like one of the shows where I was on pretty much for a while. I don't remember what day it was, but I sent it out. I sent that tape out. And I sent it to, like, a bunch of people. And I also sent it to Sirius. So somebody in Sirius Satellite Radio Land listened to the show. So for all that matters, I could be calling in 1 week to say that we're doing a show in Sirius for Sirius Satellite Radio. But until then, you know, we got to keep plugging away. So
yeah.
Figured out
Eric,
your
Eric
Christmas
Williams.
Gift.
Eric Williams. But before you go, before you hang up and leave us, I just got a question for you. Or it's not a question. Well, it kind of is. Why did you injure Santa? What about the kids that want to bring him milk and cookies? Now, what are they supposed to do?
Because honestly, in the long term, Santa is getting old. But I'm telling you right now, you got your Santa in the chat room.
Oh, really?
Santa's in the chat room. The next Santa is in your chat room. And he goes by the name of three letters. And it's D, D, P. You
wow.
See, Matt Broderick. Hold on. Oh, my God, I'm getting beat up. Hey, the Santa Claus, I'm back. And I'll tell you right now, Matt Broderick, have you been a good boy? If you haven't, you're going to get cold because the Chicago Bears are not going to beat my Philadelphia Eagles this week. Oh, Merry Christmas and have a good night. I'm going to give the phone back to Eric once he gets up from his lazy ass. He thinks that Santa Claus will have some tricks up his sleeve, and I got more than he can handle. He's going to give a phone back. Damn fucking Santa now. Damn, what the hell? Yeah, I'll tell you right now. All right. I don't know. Learn the words of Santa Claus, but, yeah. It's always good to hear from Santa Claus. Always good. It's not good to get beat up, but like I tell you right now, Matt, 2014 is going to be the year of the Sports Opinion Show.
Yes.
Because honestly, if we can get on Sirius Satellite Radio, it'd pretty much be like, that'd be the all shebang. That would be that. You know what I mean? That would be the goal. You know?
Yeah. That would be it.
I'll tell you right now. If there's anything I want for Christmas, I want everybody to be happy. And I want everybody to be content with everything that the Sports Opinion Show, because honestly, I think we've given a lot of people, you know, a lot of people some good memories. You know, I think we made some people's days, you know. And like I said a couple weeks ago, it's not about doing a Sports Opinion Show. You know, it's not about doing this stuff for serious or like getting serious about it. Because at the end of the day, when you sit there, everybody got an opinion. He got an opinion. Matt Brother got an opinion. You know, you have an opinion. Craig Brooks has an opinion. Coffee has an opinion. Sonny Clark got opinions. By the same token, can you express your opinion? We're doing what we do. You know, we're making everybody happy. But more people need to call into the show. I mean, honestly, I don't understand. You got people in the chat room. Call in. Call in and talk. Let's have a big old party one day. You know what I mean? Every Friday, let's just have a party. Matt Broderick, call in. Call in for 10 minutes. You're in the chat room. Call in. Coffee, call in. I'm saying, give it a try. Let's do some different things with the Sports Opinion Show in New Year. Because honestly, we did some new things this past year. And even though it didn't go the way we wanted to go, it was still fun. But let me leave it at that. Let me stop talking about that because I don't really want to go too much. But I'll tell you right now, it's going to be a good year. Good rest of the year. There's been a lot of things happening. But y'all make me happy. Y'all make me keep doing this stuff. You know, I got friends in this. I became friends with people because of the show. You know. But that's what I'm thankful for Christmas. I'm not, like I tell people, like, I'm not, you know, I don't really want anything this year. And I told them, my family, I said, I don't want anything. I keep saying, do you want anything? I was like, no, I'm good. Just keep the money. So the same token, it's about giving thanks to what you have and being thankful. But it shouldn't be about just one day. Christmas is about, should be every day. Not in the shopping sense, but in being with the family and, you know, being with your family and respecting family values. I feel like I had to come up. I feel like I had to come up clutch there with some smart remarks.
Well, Eric Williams, thank you very much for that. Matt Broderick said to tell Santa Claus that he's Matthew J. Broderick and he's awesome. And he said, also, Chicago all the way. What do you think of that?
I think I'm going to tell you right now, Matt Broderick, you know, sometimes you come off as, you know, you cool as hell on Facebook, all right? That's understandable. But I'm telling you right now, I think you're on drugs, personally. Y'all on drugs. You on that heavy shit that makes you stink things, okay? Number one, y'all aren't even in the playoff line if Detroit hasn't been slipping up, all right? Detroit's been slipping up big time. And you are getting lucky, winning games, you know. I understand that shit, but you know what? Y'all gotta remember that you're coming to Philly, and this is Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, the city where you will get shot for looking at another guy's woman, okay? This ain't no Chicago, we're going to be cold. No. Philadelphia is going to come out and play hard this week because we got embarrassed this past week. By a team I don't even give a crap about, and they shouldn't have been in the football game. But I'm telling you right now, Chicago Bears, 8:30 Sunday night, bring it.
Oh, bring it. Wow, what a way to go into the Christmas mood, Eric. But, Eric, seriously, I hope you have a good Merry Christmas.
Oh, you do the same, man. I'm waiting to get picked up to do a little dinner here. I'm all dressed up, looking good. Anybody who got Snapchat, that's another thing. Hit me up on Snapchat. And everybody hit me up on Snapchat. That's the new way of doing things. Pictures, and it goes away in 10 seconds. Check me out on Snapchat, E-R-K-L-I-B, on Snapchat. Send me a friend request. Or not even a friend request. Send me a Snapchat request. I'll send you goofy photos. I'll send you, I don't know, crazy football pictures. And yeah, everybody go check out Snapchat. Everybody be cool. Just don't act up. Just be cool. Be thankful for what you have. Because you never know. I mean, hell, that Boston bombing shit, man. People died, you know. Remember what you have. Remember what you have. Remember that you're only as strong as the people that brought you on this planet. Respect your parents. Love your family. I can't really say much. I mean, I can say, like, all that other stuff, but, you know, I got a crazy work schedule this week, so I'll tell you that right now. I work tomorrow, 8:30 to 5. Back at Sunday at 4 o'clock in the morning, till noon. Monday, 11:30 to 8. Tuesday, 9 o'clock till 6:30. Wednesday off, Thursday, 7:30 to 4.
Wow.
So, you know what? Wow. My holiday is going to be work, 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 day off, work, and 2 days off. So, I'll be fine.
From me and Eric Williams, from the Sports Opinion Show, and from the entire NDB Media family, we all like to wish you all, and on behalf of Roger Nobrega, we'd like to all wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll see you next week. Thank you for being here. And last but not least, the one guy that gets the biggest boot from the award show, the number one guy who made it to the top of the list.
Better not be me.
John Cena needs to be fired. Merry Christmas.
Oh, my God, you're horrible. Get out of here. Merry Christmas. What's good, your friend? I'll be here soon.